I just, we would to call the August 13th board meeting of the Sussex Tech Vocational High School to order. If we would, we stand and do the pledge of allegiance. We have a flag tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment of silence at this time. Could I could get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Board members, I do have one addition. We did get a last minute a proposal to fix the stormwater drain that's located near the child care center. We have some significant issues there in the substructure because of the problem with the stormwater management system. The old terracotta pipe is failing because of the root structures have gone into it. And so basically we get an eroded substructure and we have a quote unquote sinkhole. And so I'd like to recommend that we add 8G, a PO to approve the stormwater repairs, drain repairs. So I'd like to recommend we add that. So the items I can discuss it more then.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The first order of business is the election of our president.
I will take over that given the that we don't have a president currently. Board members, I would ask, are there any nominations for the office of president?
I'd like to nominate Warren Reed.
Is there a second? Motion by Mr. Torbert, second by Mr. Johnson. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, I call for the vote. All in favor of electing Mr. Reed as president, please signify by raising your hand. All opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries 4-0-1 with one abstention. Congratulations, you're now the president.
Thanks.
And we do have a vice president, so we will go from there and you will begin to take over the meeting.
I'd like to get a motion to approve the board minutes from the July 9th meeting, regular session, and executive sessions.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Carried. We're going to move on to 4A, which is personnel action items.
Board members, we need a motion to approve before.
Okay, a motion to go to personnel and action items.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Board members, I do want to make a couple notes here on the new hires. I thank you for the approvals, but I feel compelled to talk about one of the positions. There were six new hires, four resignations, and four coaching positions. One of those positions is a new position to Sussex Tech, public information officer. I do want to explain to those in attendance and the public the reason for this. I contemplated that when I first came on board last month. There are a lot of negative stories about the school system out, the school district out in the public. We need to change that narrative. We don't have anybody on staff that is assigned to do that full time. This is a professional position, and I believe it's needed. But I also understand the financial situation that we're in. And so what I've done is combined a lot of other things into this position. So although the position is called public information officer, this person will have a lot of other duties associated with the job. For instance, we do not have a person assigned to respond to FOIA requests, Public Freedom of Information Act requests. In fact, in policy, the name is my predecessor. That's what we have. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what we have. That needs to be changed. So I need somebody to respond to Public Information Act requests in a timely and efficient manner. I also need somebody who has an entrance into the local publications. I need somebody who can have a contact there. We have a lot of great stuff happening in this school, from the staff recognitions to the students to the operations schools. We need to push that out. We need to have an article in the paper every day about what wonderful things our school system is doing. And we need to hit three areas. We need to hit newspapers, we need to push it out through email and social media, and we don't have anybody on staff to do that. People get their news, and I said this during the interviews, unfortunately, something like 70% of the population, and I assume Sussex County is in the realm of those statistics, get their news from social media. We don't have anything out there, at least anything consistent. And lastly, people come to our website. I want people to come to our website. I want them to see information that's easy to get. I want somebody to be able to track our website to see where the traffic's going, to say, okay, here's what people want to know. Let's change our website to provide more information in the area. And I'm not saying we don't have a functioning website, but there's certainly room for improvement. So I was looking for somebody who has those skills and eventually take over that component and remove it from technical services, whose job is the backbone, but their job isn't to put content on there. And I will also tell you this, the interview committee board members was made up of somebody from the school teaching, graphic communications. It was made up of adult education, myself, John Tell, certainly the school-based administration were all together on this, what these needs are. But in addition to that, this person's going to take over coordinating the Teacher of the Year program, and there's a reason for doing that. I want to be able to push that information out. We have some wonderful staff. We have a wonderful Teacher of the Year right now. I want the next incumbent, I want that to be out there. So I'm connecting the two. In another more technical issue, according to the law, we have to have a contact information from the public school system for any alleged cases of discrimination. We don't have that. This person would serve as that contact person in the three federal laws where it's required to have a contact person. In addition, they're going to handle any media event. They're going to handle the publication of any special thing that's got to the public. This person would do that. They're designing and publications. And so we're going to take that. So we're going to have somebody organized to do all of this information, newsletters, special events. We'll have somebody in the school photographing our students, certainly with permission, and staff as they go about their job. So all of these things will come together to push out. And that's only some of this position responsibilities. So I think it's a need for the system. I think it's something that will help us change, as I said, the narrative going forward. And I think it's needed for the position. So I thank you for the support and hope that answers any questions that anybody might have about this position.
Any further discussion on this topic? We need a motion to approve the personnel agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Not opposed. Motion carried. We're going to move to the administrative reports.
We'll start with adult education, Dr. Owens. Thank you.
Professions Program. We have a certified nursing assistant program which started on July 24th. That's a full class of 8 students. Now you may be asking, why is that a full class of 8? Under the state mandate, it's one instructor for 8 students. If you have 9 students, you have to go to 2 instructors. So obviously we try not to add that second instructor unless we've got a full class. So we've got a full class of 8 students. We have another class scheduled to begin in September. We already have several registrations for that class.
How long is the class?
That will last, I'm going to say to you, probably approximately about 16 weeks. They go through it pretty quickly, but they do their classroom experience, and then in addition to that, they have an externship they have to do. Then they have to sit for their state test and everything. You know, from previous experience, yeah. You hear me talk very proud about that. Our success rate usually is around 98%.
Yeah.
So we have great staff there doing that. Apprenticeship. Gearing up for another successful year in apprenticeship and industrial training. August 20th, we'll be doing our orientations. We do a couple of nights for orientations where we bring these folks in, and then classes will start shortly thereafter. I must get to the next couple of items. You all have copies of my report if you have any questions. Extended learning, very, very pleased with those enrollments again. And that's all I have to report this evening, unless anybody has any questions.
Question I have for you, Dr. Woods. On the CNA program, of the 8, are they all with tuition paid by the grants that we got?
No, well, I can't tell you specifically on that, but generally what we have is We have a couple that are normally private pay, meaning they come in and with a credit card or check and pay on their own. We are very pleased, though, that there is a lot more money flowing in this year through grants. Delaware's funded some programs. And interestingly enough, Ms. Hines, who you've heard me say kudos about before, she's a go-getter, and she actually found out that Maryland had a lot of money for grants, and surprisingly, we were able to find out that if they can't exhaust their funds, and we have a program over here, and someone wants to get funds from Maryland to take classes from us, they'll pay for it. So we're not adverse to taking some of Maryland's money.
They're happy to give it. They are happy to give it.
We're tapping into that as well.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You have 74 enrolled in electrical apprenticeship training and almost none in the other categories. There must be something there.
That's probably just, I wish I had Mr. Danner here, but that's probably just the instructor being ahead of the game in terms of getting those numbers into us. Those numbers will change dramatically, I will tell you, by the next report, because the HVAC is a big one, but that, I think it's just because they're preliminary numbers. But if you'd like, Mr. Johnson, I'll be happy to follow
just
up.
It's so lopsided.
Yeah, well, I'll follow up with him in the morning. I'll be happy to provide him with the information, Mr. Guthrie, and he can get it out to the whole board.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Academic.
How's everybody doing? It's too quiet in here. Thank you. So, as you can see, I'm excited, as I should be this time of the year. Okay. Within the next 3 weeks, all systems are go. So just kind of do a quick recap for everybody. On Wednesday, fall sports start. We'll probably have 600 students campus-wide participating. Band camp has already started. That's over 100 already. So then we go into the next week. We have more planning, and then the following week, teachers come back, new teacher, following. I'm no rushing, it's okay. I don't control the county. I don't control it. But just got one more. All right, so then we come back, and we have our teachers come in, and new teacher, new students, freshman orientation, and then after Holloway, all students will go. So we're very excited about that. Dr. Sell's going to steal a little bit of my thunder as far as being Dr. Celebration, but we have a lot to celebrate, and it all comes back to you guys as teachers there, so get that. Want to give kudos, but he's not here, to Mr. Jefferson on winning first place this year at the state fair. Mr. Guthrie, a lot of folks here in Delaware, especially folks in Sussex County, take a lot of pride in what we do at the state fair. So that's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, big deal. So kudos to him and all of the students, as well as all of the local companies that made donations to help with that display. So thank them very much. Football program just come back from camp. Our girls basketball program just come back from camp. All are doing well. All are excited. So we're just ready to get kicked off and start our new school year. Save some lives and kids educated.
August comes earlier every year, doesn't it?
Right before the July seems like.
Thank you.
Your facilities, Mr. Aiken.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So you had the summary of the report in front of you. Try to keep it brief. The band room, the repair was finished and has been occupied since middle of July. So definitely a lot better than having termites in there. The bleachers have been installed. They're fully functional, usable, and we just have some minor punch list items still left. But you can see one or two things on it, but other than that, nothing you really notice. So for when the students come back, they're definitely functional. We've had them out, and with the fall sports meeting, we actually used them. So work a lot better. We appreciate
a lot of compliments from the,
yes,
the parents.
Yes, and for those of you that haven't been down near the gym, don't get out tonight because they're waxing, but the next time you're around, just peek in there. It looks like a totally different room. So
we're all push button now, right?
Yes.
Nobody's dragging.
Yes. Yeah, they're all by key, and they actually give a nice beeping warning that they're coming out. So yeah, much better than the old ones. No one should get hurt on these, and move forward with that. The rear parking lot, and that's what the last minute addition was there. We were waiting for the scope to come back from that. The weather had pushed it back some. Long story short, school and was started to be built in the 60s. We still have a lot of terracotta pipe underneath for our drainage systems. And of course, some of that goes out to the tax ditches. That's in the woods. We have roots systems growing through there, so that was blocking one of the main exits for the stormwater out to the tax ditch. That creates back pressure. The back pressure cracked one of the joints under the parking lot. From that joint, then we had people started referring to it as a sinkhole. It's not a sinkhole. It was, we don't want the Tanger outlets issue that came up. So it's minor. Fortunately, though, one of our staff drove over it or right near it, and that's how we actually found it. So the area is still roped off. We have construction barrels around it. So we did find that crack. We also have an issue when it was originally put in. There was a Y system off of that dead-ended with no cap on it. So that was further eroding. So the proposal that you do have is to remediate that entire, those issues. I'm not gonna say that it takes care of all the problems with our drainage system, because to redo the entire thing, we would have to dig up the entire campus. That's not feasible. But once we do fix this issue, we should be good to go until the next break or crack or something like that.
And the problem with those systems, you don't know you have a problem until you
correct.
Have a problem.
Correct. And we know, you know, with 50, 60-year-old terracotta pipe, we're going to have some issues down the road. But this will be a lasting Band-Aid for this. They'll actually brick up the dead end, so there's no further erosion from that. They'll repair the joint area with updated piping, as well as the piping all the way out to the manhole that's actually in the woods where the tax ditch is. And that came in at a very reasonable price, as much as actually a fraction of what we thought originally this piece would take.
I've got a question.
Yes.
Did you get other bids other than Hopkins?
We did not get other bids other than Hopkins on this because of the time that this was on, and they do a lot of work for the town of Millsboro as well, so we spoke with them. They come highly recommended from other state agencies. And they're also, they came in well below any threshold requiring that. So in order to move forward as quickly as possible, and because they did come in at such a low bid, that's why I'm recommending we move forward with them.
Thank you.
But they're not paving any of it.
They are not paving. They're doing everything and filling it in up to the paving level. So we can actually use anything they do cut up. We can use the parking area without repaving that area until we have another contractor come in. They are not a paving company, and so they don't coordinate that.
Okay.
I don't like the idea of contracts being given without more than one bid. This has happened in the past. And I get a lot of feedback off the street, and I think it's a wrong precedent to set. Okay?
Yeah, I'd like to see a bid on the asphalt part. So are they going to just fill it up? We're going to drive over
right. Yeah,
the open area with what, gravel in there?
No, it's the CR6 underlayment for.
So it'll pack down over a period of time, then they can pave it. Is that the goal?
Right. That'll be completely functional until we do have it repaved, so that it would be open for the start of school.
Board member, on this item, it's coming up under 8G. I'll present the proposal. If you, you know, we can have the discussion at that time on whether you want to proceed or put it out to bid, and we can talk more specifically about that at the time. I just want to, we are having this action item come up later in the
right.
meeting, so we can address all any concerns that you have.
The item is under transportation. The routes, the initial routes have been completed. The information given to student services to include in their mailings home, so that should be going out to students here shortly. Have already had quite a few, you know, calls about where bus stops and activity buses, so that's going as it typically does. And we did have our contractor meeting at the beginning of August on the 8th, and that went well as always. You know, everyone's on board, everyone's moving forward with that. And additional items, we do have tile in room 219, which has been completed with the goal of removing all carpet from all actual classroom areas. It assists with cleanup, but also cuts down on any potential air quality issues. LED drop-in lights that we've had from before, we're still going through putting them in different areas as they open up and able to increase efficiency. And the parking lots, you might see some of the brighter blue areas, repainting some of the ADA walkways and things like that. So we ensure that we maintain compliance as well as safety for everyone that comes around. And the summer cleaning and waxing, I mentioned we continue the maze of waxing, but we'll be ready for when the teachers do come back, and so everything's presentable and ready for the kids. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Nathan.
Financial?
Ms. Jenkins.
Ms. Jenkins.
May I sit here since I have to shuffle?
Sure. Okay. Just angle that mic a little bit so it might be. There you go. Okay, financials.
Okay, I think this will work.
It'll pick up from where you are.
I'd like to first bring your attention to our preliminary discretionary budget. When you look at this first section, it is showing our estimated revenue for fiscal year 19, and it is comparing it against the FY18 actuals. And this reflects adjustments as per the July board meeting, and it includes the approvals that occurred in July. So this is our final preliminary budget for fiscal year 19. Would you like for me to go through each one, or okay?
We'll just take questions as you go through it.
Okay. The next item is our budgeted expenditures for fiscal year 19 in comparison with the fiscal year 2018 actuals. And this is based upon all of our cost centers.
Okay.
The next item is our monthly current expense property tax collection report. This is showing the month received for July. And it is, as you can see, the current collection amount, the total is $22,648, which is 0.27% of what we're collecting based upon the May 31st assessment. And it's slightly lower than it was this time last year. But again, this is only for the month of July.
The tax bills just came out, so.
The next item we have is the discretionary operating revenue budget as of July 31st. You can see what the estimated collection is based upon the preliminary budget and the actual expenditure, again, as of July 31st. So the next item that we have is the cost center report. And this is based upon, again, the fiscal year 19 preliminary budget, the percentage expended encumbered as of July 31st, the percentage of the budget, and the remaining balance. The next item we have is the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in the fund balance. Once again, it's as of July 31st. And this is based upon the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes for our $98,000. And the final item that we have is the June 30th, 2018 student account balances. And as we continue through, we see what those balances are as of the close of fiscal year 2018.
Is there anything unusual of this report than what we've seen in the past month? Is there anything that strikes you as an outlier?
No, not at this particular time.
Class of 18, I guess they closed it?
Yes.
They finally closed that out?
They did.
18 closed out?
18 is closed out.
Yes.
Any questions, board members?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Need a motion to approve the financials as presented?
I think we have one. We'll do that under actions.
Okay, under actions. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so. Well done. Dr. Sell?
Told for the next 45, 4 to 5 minutes, I'll review a couple items here. So I really only have two things that I want to cover this evening. The first is something about the consolidated grants, okay? Consolidated grant. We had about $580,000 come into the district this year through the consolidated application. It covers Title I, Title II, Title IV, IDEA, Federal Perkins, and some state curriculum and professional development. I'm not going to go into great detail about those, but just to very quickly, Title I covers any school-wide programs that we have here. We can use those funds in a wide variety of ways. And you have the report in front of you. Primarily, our Title I funding goes to our Blackboard contract so that we can have an online presence, and a big chunk of our Title I funding goes to our dual enrollment opportunities that we can offer here school-wide for all of our students. And they've been very robust and very successful over the last few years. That's the biggest portion of our Title I, and you'll also see another big portion there goes to some salaries and OECs for various staff that deliver and administer various school-wide programs for us. Some para stuff in there, some paraprofessional salary, homeless liaison, 20% in there of that person's salary. Title II and Title IV get absorbed under Title I. Typically, we would have Title II funding, about 50-some thousand dollars in the district, but because Title I funds decreased so significantly over the last couple of years, federal Title I funds, they've allowed us to transfer Title II funding, which is typically teacher professional development, teacher improvement. Unfortunately, because the Title I went so far down in order to maintain school-wide programs and other things that we typically did there, we transferred our Title II funding over there to bring that Title I pot back up so we can continue the services for students instead of allocating those Title II dollars for professional development. Title IV, relatively recent allotment for Sussex Tech, a lot of latitude with that as well, school improvement, school safety, other kinds of things. But it, again, to enhance the Title I pot, they allowed us, and most school districts do this. This is not atypical. This is the most common practice in Delaware. I transferred that over as well into Title I to make sure we could satisfy our typical Title I programs, okay? And the details of those are in the report. IDEA is the other big pot of money in there, over $260,000, $270,000, or whatever the number is, right in front of you, $275,820 to be exact. Our IDEA funding, the lion's share of that is absorbed through salaries, whether it be actual salaries and OECs for staff that we pay out of the federal IDEA grant, or contractual service. You'll see contractual in your report there, but if you drill down into the detail and the narrative in that, you'll see that that's also for staffing purposes. We have to contract with certain outside entities to provide much needed services for some of our students. One of those things would be a hearing impaired instructor, a full-time staff member here that we partner with from an organization to provide that service. Very difficult to get those people just out of the general public, but there are organizations that provide that. So that's the lion's share of that IDEA salaries for various people that work with our students with disabilities, okay? Perkins, straightforward, is for CTE programs, and you'll see the breakdown there. We don't get a big Perkins allotment here, $21,000, and we spend that money on much-needed equipment and software and things of that nature. We supplement that Perkins allotment with some local money, too, not nearly as much as we had in the past. We've been much more judicious about how we allot that money, and so we've decreased our local outlay of that, but I'm only talking about what's in the federal here anyway. So $21,000, and you can see the equipment that we purchased with that. And lastly is a $14,409 state and curriculum professional development pot. That is really allocated to only two things you'll see in there, a CTE professional development opportunity, the ACTE conference, and the SunGuard conference for eSchool Plus, which is our platform for all things grading and scheduling here, and we send a couple of staff to that. So that, in a nutshell, is the consolidated grant allocations. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. All right.
I had to use a magnifying glass.
I know, I apologize for the font, but I'm like, how many pages do I want to deliver to you here? But I made up for it with all the extra pages in the next report. Yeah. So as few as those were, I got extras on the other. On the next report, I would be remiss if I didn't preface this brief statement by looking to the teachers that are here tonight. Everything good, and Dr. Demme's right, this is a celebration of the highest order. okay? We are consistently at the top of the state when it comes to state test scores. We have been for quite some time here at Sussex Tech. And all of that goes to the people here to my left. They do an incredible job of delivering instruction to our students. Relevant, yeah, they deserve a hand for that. Absolutely. So the SAT results came out, and just bear this out for us this year. Outside, and this was already delivered by the Department of Education just a few days ago, but outside of the charter schools across the state, we were number one in the state. Outside of charter schools and magnet schools, and like six or seven of them, we were the number one performing school in the state in both English and math this year. So kudos. I mean, we're at 71% proficient on the SAT English portion, and 48% proficient, which is much, much more challenging to get, and I'll give an analogy real quick, on the math, which was a great uptick from where we were on math just last year. So, and far outpacing the state, which saw dips. While they went down, we went up. So considering, you know, where we were and where we came through this last year, you know, we had our challenges. However, nothing lacked in the classroom. In fact, they went above and beyond, and our students really went above and beyond. So all the kudos to our teachers and students for delivering on this. And the analogy I was going to make for the math to English, I've always thought that, you know, English is like we grow up learning to read and write. It's in our everyday life, you know, but sometimes we fight math because people aren't talking in math numbers to us all the time, and we're not seeing math problems all over all the time. I make the analogy to like learning to sing versus learning to play an instrument. We sing all the time. That's the English side, you know, and it's just part of you. But learning to play an instrument is just a much more focused kind of thing sometimes. Not to disparage English teachers, because I was one for 23 years. It's just sometimes a more focused skill set. So to get to 48% proficient on the math, and that's really what I'm trying to say. The state, you know, the plateau, the level for proficiency there is set lower because everybody recognizes that's a different kind of skill set. So kudos to our staff for bringing it home like that. At the next board meeting, and prior to that at the opening of the school year, we'll present on the heart and soul of what we do here, the CTE certifications and other kinds of data points that we have there. All right. So the last thing that's in there was an AP report. Our AP numbers are back, and although they remained relatively flat, we had saw a small uptick in our AP scores as well. Another testament to our teachers here. So there's a five-year report in there on the ancillary pages, but the first two pages is just the big picture stuff where you probably really want to live, and you'll see that we had about 119 test takers taking about 155 total tests, and we had like 55% proficiency, three or higher, those of you that aren't well-versed in AP. Five is the high score that you're going to get. Four is great. Three is that Mendoza line where you want to get to be proficient. And then two and one is just below that as far as what the colleges are looking for to award AP credit. So we had a really successful AP year this year, and you can see our five-year trend in that report as well. Does anyone have any questions about anything I said here tonight?
Now again, I think it's worth repeating my compliments to the staff. Those are fantastic scores. Irrespective of what happened in the district office, good work was still happening at the schools, and that's really important for the district to continue to go forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sell.
Before we move into public participation, board members, I just want to just really briefly review the past, since we last met here in public session. I have been meeting with various constituent groups, school community. I've talked with teachers. I've met with the custodians that they're in service. I've met with the bus contractors. I did come and meet the fall sports parents, the ones who came on the coaches' night. I've been developing a plan going forward for the remediation of policies and procedures. And I just want to spend a second talking about our first work session, which is this Wednesday at 4:00. And we'll be meeting over in the conference room. And if it's well attended, we'll move it to a more public location. But we'll have 1 month, with the exception of November because of the Thanksgiving holidays, for an extended discussion with the board. We're going to start first with strategic planning. That's the next step. I will go through that. I hope that some of you can find the time to come. I hope you find it interesting, but we need to rebrand ourselves, as one of the teachers suggested when I met with that teacher group, is a good way of putting it. And we need to do that by starting over and redefining who we are as a district and what, how we exist as a district and who we're here to serve. We can't do that in isolation. I'm not going to do that in isolation. It will be part and parcel when we get to the advisory committee policy that I'm going to do first reading on tonight. It will be in partnership with all the advisory committees. We have an aggressive timeline. We'll have a check-in in January, and hopefully, if all goes well, we'll approve a new strategic plan in June. I'm going to do it out in the open in public. We're sending out periodic updates and certainly meeting with the advisory committee. So we have an aggressive timeline to do this work. I think it's well worth it, and we look forward to public participation in that process.
Thank you. We're going to open the floor now for public participation.
We have a different process, and I'll get into that a little bit, but we've asked anybody who's interested in speaking to sign this green card instead of the assurance forms. I do want to take a minute, as we did last time, just to quickly review the rules, and then we'll start by calling up participants. As our public comments go, this is an opportunity for board members of the Sussex school system, school district community to discuss their views on issues, and allows board members to respond if appropriate. The time frame is 5 minutes, and the exclusions are anything doing with personnel or protected collective bargaining law. Anything that would be considered confidential is not appropriate for public participation. Everybody has First Amendment rights, and we certainly want to honor that. But just for the sake of clarity, if a speaker makes defamatory comments or statement or invades the rights of another student or employee or provides information that falls under confidentiality, that speaker is responsible for those comments. We're not going to tackle you or remove you. You'll be allowed to finish your sentence, but you're responsible for any legal actions as a result of your comments. That's apart from the 5 minutes, you will not be interrupted. However, we reserve the right if any incorrect information or false information is representative factual, we do reserve the right to correct that information. So with that, we're calling up.
DJ?
We have one.
Before I begin, I didn't know if you guys would be willing to indulge us in tonight and give me slightly more than 5 minutes. We have no other speakers to just finish the statement as is, and then it might carry over 5 minutes. Is that okay?
Board members?
Good with me.
Okay,
thank you. This past June, an overwhelming majority of the Sussex Tech staff voted zero confidence in this board's ability to effectively lead our district forward. This wasn't an easy decision to make, but after years of working under an oppressive district administration, after the questionable leadership this board exhibited last year, and after learning that the district hired a new superintendent without any input from the staff, we felt the time was right to speak out. As a result, an organic movement of concerned staff worked diligently to prepare our case. Since our movement began, we have met with local legislators and community members to raise awareness about our concerns. We've met with Governor Carney to discuss future appointments, reappointments, and revised term limits for board members. And we have met with Mr. Guthrie to emphasize the necessity of reestablishing trust and confidence within our district and our local communities. As a result, we have increased community awareness and placed a spotlight on the myriad changes that must be implemented by our district to get our school back on track. We've established a relationship with the governor and placed the needs of our district directly on his radar. And we have found a leader in Mr. Guthrie who seems experienced, professional, and competent. All welcome changes from our recent past. These are all strides in the right direction, but there's still a lot of work left to do. After pouring our hearts and souls into the June and July board meetings, and after further heartfelt discussions with board members in small groups, we asked to hear from the board. After being met with silence at the board meetings, we wanted the voting members of this movement to hear your impassioned voices so that we could truly embrace and believe in your commitment. Unfortunately, what we got was a bit more cautious. In your letter to our staff, you told us that you acknowledge our concerns and that you accept that you had a role to play in the events that unfolded. Finally, you admit that you understand your obligations moving forward, but again, you point to the fact that you were deceived as your attempt at being vindicated. Unfortunately, this narrative is a bit tone deaf. To simply say that you played a role in these events and then absolve yourselves by saying that you were deceived makes us question whether you have truly heard us and whether you have truly evaluated your roles as board members during the past several years. This summer, we have painstakingly detailed dozens of missteps this board has made that had nothing to do with deception. To avoid redundancy and to maintain our focus on progress, we do not wish to spotlight those missteps again here. But please know that you cannot simply say that you played a role in these events and then exonerate yourselves by saying that you were deceived. This is simply not enough. There needs to be an honest recognition that things must change and your roles as board members must be carried out with sincerity, authenticity, and fidelity so that these mistakes are never repeated. Our decision to begin this process after our students left for the summer was no coincidence. We did not want them to have to suffer under the public scrutiny that we knew would accompany this movement. Now, 2 weeks before our students return, it is our goal to look for closure. And while we were less than inspired by your written response to our heartfelt concerns, and while we have yet to regain full confidence in this board's ability to lead our district forward, for the sake of our students, we want to begin this school year by celebrating the positives that have grown from this movement. First, our new board members have presented themselves as competent and committed to guiding our school in the right direction. Second, we have established a professional and proactive relationship with our superintendent that has us excited for the upcoming year. Third, we have emphasized the important role that the governor plays in evaluating and selecting appointed board members. And finally, and most importantly, our staff is more engaged, connected, and motivated than it has been in a decade. In fact, our staff has never been more proud of its ability to positively impact our school, and we have never been more energized to begin a school year. After years of questioning our own value and feeling voiceless within our own district, we have regained our worth by standing up and using our voices to get our school back. Now we're looking at you, our incumbent board members, to prove to us that you are committed to establishing a culture of trust, inclusion, and accountability so that we can regain full confidence in this board. As teachers, we are constantly evaluating our strategies and reflecting on our lessons. This forces us to improve our craft, and it holds us accountable to our students. Tonight, we are asking that you reflect on your roles as board members. We are asking you to honestly evaluate what you can do to be more effective leaders in this district, and we're asking you to be more active, aware, and engaged in the needs of the students and staff. We are asking you to hear our voices and to recognize that the work you have put in during your tenure on this board is just not enough. And to acknowledge that the work that is required to drag us out from this shadow of malaise and corruption is going to require far more effort than we have seen. But we're not asking you to do this alone. In this staff, you have talented, dedicated, and motivated professionals who want to become active stakeholders in the future of this district. As you have seen this summer, this staff is willing to work tirelessly to move our district in a more ethical, communal, and professional direction, and we are asking that you join us in this movement so that we can work together to continue to make Sussex Tech a place where students can thrive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, any comments or response?
First, I want to thank the faculty, the administration, for their outstanding achievements this past year. An incident happened back in May of this year, or April this year, that was under my watch. Ms. Mizuchi, I hope I pronounced the name right, brought it to my attention. I do appreciate that. I was led with guys that it was being resolved. My apology to that. In the future, I will be making much a better response to that, and making Mr. Gumtree, our superintendent, to the level of responding. I appreciate it. Thank you again.
I want to thank you guys. You know, we've met on several occasions, and to see your passion and your investment in the school is it's amazing. You know, I have two kids, one graduating here this year, and to see the end result is easy for parents, I think, to see when you're away from here, but to see how the result gets there, and meeting with you guys, and it's an investment. Obviously, you guys could get jobs and go work somewhere else, and you've chose to invest, you know, your time and your future here. and I appreciate it, to spend the time with the ones of you I did and the ones that have called me and emailed me since in the last couple months has been, it's been inspiring and encouraging to hear your passion. I don't know how else better to say it, but, I do appreciate that as a parent and as a board member. You know, what you're putting in here is more than you have to, and that says a lot about your character and the integrity of the staff we have here. I mean, it's you guys should be proud, and as since this is all went down, obviously you guys have got my contact info. If there's whatever I can do, I will do my best to represent you and to answer any questions and help move forward for sure. So I thank you guys.
I'd like to thank the staff for the job that you do and you've done for 7 years since I've been on the board. But I would like to say to you, don't be afraid to call any member on this board at any time. We want that. Okay? Thanks.
On behalf of Judy and myself, he enjoyed meeting with four of you, and it was very beneficial. And whatever you need, please don't hesitate to call or come see us. Thank you.
I want to thank you, obviously, for the work you put in, the way you did it. You've done it very professionally, factual. I think because of what you've done, we're going to move forward faster. You create an opportunity for change. I'm not sure what would have happened without the energy and effort that you guys put into this. I think you've created a climate that is going to allow us to move forward much faster than we can. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's exactly the point. Is I've been associated in my past career with change and movement in a certain direction. The hardest part of change is creating the atmosphere or the urgency for that change. You created that. That helps us move through that process much more quickly because we don't have to establish that urgency. It's there, you've highlighted it, articulated it well, and so that it's based on that that we're going to be able to shortcut that preliminary start. I will also tell you is that I hope to create a page on our website as we go through the strategic planning that you can always check in. For instance, the PowerPoint that I'm going to use this to lead us through the process, I'll make sure it's on our website. You can, you can look at it, and there'll be hopefully a feedback mailbox. I can get ideas, and even outside of the advisory process as we go through it, because I truly mean it. I can create the vision, but then nobody's going to follow it unless they're a part of it. And I want everybody to be a part of that reinvention as we move forward. And the other thing I'll say is what I said before, change is hard. There's some people who are going to be on board, some people okay anyway, and there's going to be people, I'm going to have to make or recommend some controversial decisions that will change how people do their job or change the clientele that they're dealing with. It's going to happen. And generally change is okay as long as it doesn't affect your life. And if it does, then it's not okay. And so I would ask you to continue that support as we go through some controversial changes. But again, thank you. And thank you for, I know you speak for everybody here and much more, so thank you for the conversation. Okay.
We're gonna move on to the discussion items. Proposed revision of the board policy.
Let me make a general statement about our policies. One of the things that I discovered over the past month as I was reviewing our policy is our policies have not been updated or reviewed since 2007. And most of them were written in the 90s or very shortly, early 2000s. And we are hopelessly out of compliance with a lot of stuff. And one of the immediate things that we have to take care of, and I'll do that next meeting, so we still have some, of illegal policies that I have to take care of. And so you'll be seeing at every board meeting, I'll be bringing, or staff will be recommending changes to four or five policies. So the next year, we're gonna be going through this two-stage section, first readings and approvals. So we have three here that I'm gonna introduce on first readings. They'll come back for approval next month, but I'm gonna be bringing five more for first reading. So we have to update this book. We have to do a better job of being compliant with not only state and federal laws, but also common sense. So that's the process. So in order to start that, I have to make sure I understand the policy development policy. The policy on policy development is a good place to start. Actually, it was three different policies on policies development that I combined into one. The only change is, actually it's a good, between the three different policies that exist, they were actually pretty good, I thought. Just a couple language updates and a policy. So let me just go through what I've structured. Again, which isn't significantly different. Anytime there is a policy change, the process that you outlined that I'm recommending going forward is that I bring it to you as a first reading. No policy should be approved the same night it's introduced. So the reason for that is I'll bring you a policy, we will put it out for public comment as well as you to consider and hear public comment on. Some of these policies will be easy, they're just some updating, some of them might be, I can't think of one offhand, but some that may be controversial or you want to take some time with. But as we go through that, we'll go through an update on all of them. So all I did was update the language, but also created a new form based on the best practices from the superintendents and boards associations that every policy should have a purpose, the reason why we're doing it, a definition for anything that's contained in there might be defined, and then a policy statement. The policy should be broad visions of what you want me to do, broad visions of any areas that in the school system you're giving broad direction. Administrative regulations are what I use to implement your policy. And we're lacking a lot of administrative regulations. We have a lot of policies, but I'm gonna add administrative regulations, not for your approval, but for your input to say this is the way we want you to implement this policy. The first several, because they're your policies and they don't have administrative regulations with them. And then any reports, and then this is an important piece, every policy should be reviewed at least every 3 years. And there should be a notation when it's reviewed. Again, some of these haven't been reviewed or any of them have been reviewed since 2007. So every 3 years, we should go through a cycle of, we might not make any changes, but at least they're reviewed. And so this first one is policy on policy development. Again, except for updating the language and changing the format, this essentially means that I bring you a policy 4 weeks before it's approved. You have some time to review it. 4 weeks would be the minimum. You could extend it if it's something that you want more public feedback on. We advertise it, we send it out, we put it on our website, and then we go on our feedbook, and then the next month it comes back to you. So again, there's not much change in this first one, but I'm recommending an update on the grammar and some of the language used and also the format. So I'll take any feedback.
Could you include background with purpose, the background of the policy in question?
Can you give me an example of
background for school? Title I, the funding.
On when we get to those types of policies,
yes.
Not specifically on this one.
Yes.
Oh, yes,
sorry.
Certainly.
Okay,
yes,
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I look at the purpose, I'll try to give you as much information as possible on any policy, the reason for having it.
Fantastic.
And some of these policies we have, which there's no purpose for having the policy, they're just there. So, yes, in under policy development, I don't need that, but I understand your point. On any future policies. Any other questions? Okay, I will bring this back to you for action at the September meeting. Do you want me to just continue on with?
It's all
okay.
Policy related.
This one is public participation at board meetings. When we first went through this and I looked at it, we don't really have anything. We have one contract, you'd call it, when anybody signs up for public participation, there's that form that you sign. And when I saw that last month, I tried to find some background on what establishes this process and procedures and found nothing. In fact, I couldn't find any real history on it, and there was no electronic copy of it. It was just this, somebody found something on public participation, and these are the rules. So we need, I believe we need to elevate that to give some background to it and flesh it out. And so I developed a new policy, and this would policy under the coding, BEDH, under the NEA coding, National School Boards Association coding. This is where it would fall. Essentially what I took is your current procedures and process and put it into a policy. So it, two purposes. One, we have to have some rationale of what, why or what we do and why we do it, especially with something as important as public participation. It just can't exist as one document that somebody found in a desk somewhere. It has to be elevated and advertised to the public. Putting it online under policy would do that. All this does is take your current process and makes it into a board policy. There are no changes anywhere on it. So, unless there's any questions, that's what I would recommend. Okay. And the last one is the policy and regulations. I do have regulations with this on advisory committees, and the same thing. I made a statement about advisory committees at the last board meeting, but we need to elevate that to a board policy, and I have to put some more information out. So let me go through that. By this policy, you will establish advisory committees to the Board of Education. And an advisory committee is defined as the committee that's convened in accordance with Delaware education law to provide broad input into the policies and operation of the school system. Membership of the advisory councils or committees may include parents, staff, students, and other community members, unless otherwise stipulated by law. So by this policy, you're making a statement to that effect, and you're establishing the Teachers Advisory Committee, the Citizens Advisory Council, and the Budget Oversight Committee. The Budget Oversight Committee, as I've mentioned before, is required by Delaware law, but has not been in practice since 2009, 2010. So we're out of compliance, so we need to do that. So we go through that process. The board policy just, again, establishes that so that there is a public input through teachers, citizens, and certainly specific to board finances of a process where you have citizen input, whether any one of these committees, it doesn't matter. Those are the three that we need to establish, and we will use them as we go on with strategic planning. Again, the policy is reviewed every year, and you designate me to run these committees for you. And I would put staff to each one of the committees, we would bring you back periodic reports. So that gets me to, that's your policy. So your policy basically establishes the committees and councils. The advisory, the administrative regulations set forth how I would do it. So let me take a minute and go through that. The appointees that I would bring to you should have an interest or expertise in identified purpose or charge of the committee. They should endeavor to reflect the diversity of the community as balanced and appropriate to the topic, not only by race, ethnicity, gender, geographic area, or range of viewpoints. In other words, I don't want a yes committee. You shouldn't want one either. It should represent a broad diversity that's representative of our county. They'll meet no less than quarterly. That doesn't mean they have to meet just quarterly. It means no less than quarterly. And membership would be on our website. They will report to you annually in June, and it may be scheduled at other times as you deem they deem as appropriate. And each year you will give them their charge, or at least we'll refresh the charge. Just highlight some other things. So let's start with Citizens Advisory Council. It shall consider matters pertinent to public education, present concerns and recommendations in accordance with their charge, and shall be comprised of three parents, three citizens from Sussex County, three staff members, and that doesn't have to be teacher, just three staff members, and three members of the business community. And if the Student Government Association wishes to, they can designate a person to serve on the membership. I would personally staff this committee, but I want to make this clear that they would be a self-operating committee. When I say staff, I just mean provide resources to the committee to get their work done or provide information. I think each committee should have an internal hierarchy, whether they choose a chairperson or someone to facilitate it. I don't want any perception that I'm or one of my staff members running the committee and would pigeonhole their response to fit in with preconceived narrative. So it would be a self-running committee, but we would staff it to make sure that the logistics of time, place, meeting, and all those kinds are satisfied. That's the Citizen Advisory Council. I hope to bring you those names and the approval of these the policy in September so we can get started right away. The next one is the Teachers Advisory Council. I want to separate this from any school improvement team or faculty concerns committee. Those would be Dr. Denby's, the way the school runs, input into the school. This is a district-wide advisory committee to the board and myself. This and the charge immediately is going to be strategic planning. That's what we're going to talk about first. It would help on matters of operational and instructional programs as much that falls into the board's authority and control. Again, I want to establish this committee differently than something Dr. Denby would run to help him improve the way the school itself runs. So I've established that separation. The membership, we already have an existing group, existing instructional coaches. We already have a common planning time. I don't want to have teachers come out at night or sacrifice other time away from the school to be on this committee. I think they already sacrificed enough. So I want this to either provide subs or meet during the school day. Happily, there is an existing organization we can tap into to start this. Okay. And the last thing is the Budget Oversight Committee. Ms. Jenkins will establish that. This is accordance to law. And according to Delaware Code, we have to have at least 5 members approved by a selection committee. The membership and selection committee is outlined in law as well. The members must reside in the district. They have to consist of parents, educators, and taxpayers. 2 members shall have formal education or vocational backgrounds that enable them to have some oversight and knowledge and oversight of the district finances. They are supposed to report their advice to you as we develop the budget for next year or any financials. So you'll have an advisory committee that will give you input. And they have to be trained. That's outlined in Delaware Code as well. These people who would be a part of this committee have to be trained to do this job. So essentially, what I'm asking for is to consider the policy. I'll bring it back for approval. But over the next month, unless you have any input for me, I intend to flesh out the membership as per these administrative regulations and bring them back to you in September, and so we can get started as soon as possible on the strategic planning and how we're going to, what vision we're going to have going forward, and so I can get input from all these areas. But I do want to make specifically the Financial Budget Oversight Committee is specific to finances, which is a part and parcel part of the whole thing. So I know that's a lot, and I went over it fairly quickly, but are there any questions or input that you have for me?
Did I miss it? How often the teachers' committee is going to meet?
At least quarterly, but my assumption is that and the general guidelines in the beginning apply to all the committees. At least quarterly, my assumption is in the beginning we'll need to meet more than that. But I want these committees to be self-operating. I want them to dictate what they believe is when they need to meet. I will be at each one of the first meetings to sort of give the charge of where we want to go and sort of say this is what I think and then hear from them with their thoughts. But I last month I introduced it, this month I'm bringing it back policy, next month I hope to approve it so we can get this started. I know that these kinds of things have been talked about before, but there's never been a follow-up. I think we need to commit to it, and so if we're going to do it, we need to do it.
Board members,
comments or questions? Okay, all right. So those are the 3 policies. There'll be 5 more next month, and 5 more the month after that until we get through all of them. So we'll be spending a lot of time approving and looking at new policies as we try to fix some of the issues. So those are the discussion items.
If you're moving on to the approval to annual utility expenses with Griffin Energy, Carl King for fuel services of $75,000.
So when we get to action items, I think what we'll do is, following Robert's rules, is you ask for a motion, get a second, then we'll go into discussion.
Okay. We're here. So can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Any information you need on the PO? It's the amount of $75,000 specific to the fuel oil costs that we have.
Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We go to the approval of purchase order 00042-9157 to Advantech for fire inspections and fire alarm monitoring. And that total is $27,522.80. Can I get a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
If you need further information, I do have Hud here who can provide.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Need a motion to approve the financials for July 31st, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed? Need an approval for the Peach Bowl trip for our band. That'd be no cost to the school district.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Board members, let me do an introduction here because I need to give you some background on my involvement in this. When I listened to the June meeting, it may have been the May meeting, but one of the meetings before I came on board, there was a considerable discussion about this trip. The board, as much as I can determine, approved this trip conditioned on an 80% participation. I know that was mostly driven by the Mr. Cooper, and I couldn't really get a sense of where the other board members were on the trip. So you did approve this trip with the 80% threshold. I've been working with Mr. Kinney to try to establish a new percentage, an accurate percentage, and he went above and beyond, I believe, by trying to poll his members, trying to get commitments, trying to figure out where they were. They've done a lot of preliminary work, and he reported to me late last week that as best he can determine, they had a 72% or 71 point something rounded up. He is here, and I feel compelled to have him come up and just sort of go through it with you so you have the full knowledge of what this entails. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. So I have an update from those numbers because okay. We've had some roster adjustments and a couple of late responses. Out of 142 students in our program, we offered two options to them. One is a flight option, one is a bus option. One is a little bit more expensive. Obviously, the flight option is about $1,149 per person. That is with a $27,500 contribution from the booster organization. Option two would be busing, and that would be $869.28. Total that indicated interest in either of the options, one way or the other, it was 107 total. For a percentage of 75.35% of those who said they cannot participate, those that indicated finances accounted for 38%. Total 13 had said that it is financial in nature. And right now, that helps us because we can try to procure possible donors or funds or grants even so that those students can participate. And that's something we're actively working on right now. With the fundraising we have done this year, we anticipate we can get the cost of the trip for flight down to $1,024.86, and the busing can be close to $700 per student. And I believe with those figures, we may get more students to participate. But as it stands right now, we are at 75% that have said they want to go one or the other way of the two options presented. The flight option got 59%, the bus option got 52%. So the flight option is, in fact, the more popular choice, which will allow us a later departure on December 26th.
So the way it stands now, it's not. It's now 75%.
It is now 75%, yes.
Okay.
But if you worked on the 13 people, if you were able to get them some money through sponsorships or scholarships, mm-hmm. you know, you'd be up over 82, 83% based on that, right?
Easily, yeah. Easily.
And the issue with bringing it to you is they have to know whether they get there or not. I mean, we're at the point of the year where they need to know. He needs to make a commitment for the transportation.
I get it. What's the cost again for the flight? Do you feel like you're going to get it down to?
We might be able to get it down to $1,024.86. That is with an additional $17,500 in fundraising, which we are actually quite close to already. The cost that we started with was about $1,500, so we may be able to take $500 off the cost of the trip through our efforts last year, this year, and what we've done over the summer.
When you go, you're going to be able to compete with the kids you're going to take.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are going to be able to compete with not having everybody.
Yeah, in the Atlanta Falcons NFL Stadium,
that's
their
cool.
own field time, and yeah, really cool experience for them. Brand new stadium, $1.2 billion.
Yeah, they're down.
Yeah, typically what I do, and this is what we did with the Sugar Bowl trip, I rewrote the visuals for the show based on the roster that we have, and I have the fall time to do that once I get solid numbers of participation. So.
I like it. I think we should do it.
Any other discussion or questions?
I have a question. In the past, the board has allocated a certain amount of money for your trips. You're not asking for that at all this year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I appreciate your work on the numbers for sure. Need a motion to approve to allow the band to go to the Peach Bowl.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Can I get approval?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? It's carried.
Thank you, board members. I think that makes everybody feel a little better.
Yes.
We're going to move on to high school purchase of school calculators. Purchase order number 000435068 to Schoolmark for calculators in the amount of $10,490. Now, I read the quote on this today, and it comes with a teacher's kit too. I don't know what, can I ask what the teacher's kit is? There's someone could speak on that?
Dr. Demby?
I'm sorry, I read the quote, I got the packet, I guess, this weekend. It gets the calculators, but it gets the teacher's kit. Is that something that helps them interact with?
Okay.
They're graphing, they're not adding it, they're graphing computers, yeah.
They're not the kind to come on and watch.
Yeah. These are scientific or graphic computers.
Interact with them by way of the technology on their smart boards. Students can do the same, as well as it saves certain graphs they may graph out. So it's really a computer. It's still called a calculator.
Is this a need, actual need, or a want?
This is a need, Mr. Torres. This is a need that, you know, let me go back to Dr. Sell. Yes, we did well on our SAT performance, right. But I don't know about you. I don't think 48% is good. That says 48% are just proficient. That means, what's board going to do with the other 52% that's not proficient? There's the need. You got to give folks up to par on mathematics. It is a way of the future, and Dr. Sub gave a great example. It is something that's more skill-based. It's not something you just do over and over again like you do with the talk. You've got to really get into it, and those calculators do two things. Number one, they help process some of the sophisticated problems that students do here now. Real world problems like measuring corners and slopes, pulling up pictures.
Okay, thank you.
Need a motion to approve this?
I think you already did that.
I got a motion. Need to vote. Discuss it. All those in favor? Can I have a motion? We need to get a motion to approve.
There was
this.
No motion? Okay.
Approve purchase order 00043568 for school mark calculators in the amount of $10,490. No motion?
One. It's actually late. Was this competitively bid, or how did we come to?
Was this a piggyback?
It's a state contract.
It's a state, yeah.
Contract.
It's a state contract, yeah. So generally, we would procure these kinds of instructional materials through a piggyback on the state contract.
Yes, sir. Not like you have really different companies who give the best value. It's a state contract.
Are these replacements, or is this new to us?
A little bit of both.
So some of we're replacing some older machines,
yes,
but also expanding the number that are available to
yes,
students.
Sir. 10.
Sorry.
It's 10 of them, correct?
How many?
It's
10 total, it says.
Yes, 10.
I don't know if a 10-pack meant 10 packs of 10.
Okay. 10. Just so you know, we have cases full of keep them locked up. Come around on the day of the standardized test, you see those all running around, you see teachers running up, asking for batteries, you take all the formulas off the walls. I mean, it's a serious deal, so I know I can get a little passionate.
How many teachers feed?
There's two math teachers in the middle.
Are these top of the line, the best calculators on the market, would you say?
No.
They're silver, really?
Not
really. Gold.
No.
No,
these
you ever heard like the goods better or the best? I'm just going to say they're better, but they're not the best.
And we would look to the state to do the bidding. They're functional for what we need. Board members,
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed? And Mr. Torbert? Mr. Torbert, those not in favor?
Mm-hmm. So 4-1.
4-1, yep. So the next item is the approval of the PAC Center lease for the amount of $1.
Board members, this is the lease that apparently has been long in duration of the center that we use for child Learning Together program here.
Just a quick question for me, for Mr. Athey. Last year we had some issues, drywall and paint that needed to be addressed. Yeah, we paid to fix some of that. Are they going to take on some of that as we move forward, since they're leasing the space?
Yeah. The terms of the lease do not stipulate repairs to the building.
And we had this discussion.
So this is our. My answer would be, you know, just on because it's not mentioned here. It is our building. Is that we would be responsible for repairs, any damage or structural repairs to the building, because it's not specified in the lease.
As it currently stands, I wasn't aware of
that. And I inquired about this, again, that the answer is what you're hearing, is that this is a long-standing lease. The dollar is in consideration for the service they provide to
the Marshall School District. Yeah. Yeah. And it's our kids in there.
Yeah.
So I need a motion to approve the lease.
Second.
Any further discussion? Do we have a motion?
Yeah.
Motion second.
A second.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Not approved. The next item was added into the agenda. It would be the stormwater quote and purchase order for Hopkins Construction in the amount of $10,904.
Board members, before you move to approve with a second in the discussion, just let me say that I'm bringing this forward. If you want to get a quote, or you want to do at least three competitive bids or some three quotes, we're happy to pull it back to do that. The only reason I'm bringing this forward now is because, as you already heard, it seemed like it came in a lot lower than I expected it ever would for the amount of work that's going to be done. And given the time of the school year, I thought it better to get the work completed prior to at least the digging and the heavy equipment out of there before students report back. That's the only reason I'm bringing it. Certainly, with that consideration, to bring back a quote, we could do that in the September meeting and approve it. But we would have work during while we're pretty active here on campus. So that was the consideration for not having any competitive quotes for you.
Well, I understand. I understand that. And the contractors from my area, I know the contractor. I've known him. The family all my life. It's just the idea that we're doing something with not three bids. That's and I will make an exception because of the coming school year, possibly. But I just don't like that. It's just something that, to me, is uncalled for. It's been done in the past so much, and it's absolutely wrong.
I will certainly note that for any future POs I bring you, and will always bring an explanation to you if I feel that there is a timing issue that we need to address.
I follow suit, Mr. Torbert. With the kids being out here and staff parking, where it's at is a tough place. So that's my argument. We need to have three. If we're going to send one bid out, we need to send it out to get three moving forward for sure. So
you don't have a motion yet.
I need to get a motion to approve Hopkins Construction bid for $10,904 to fix the parking lot. I don't see a purchase order number on there.
It's just a proposal. That's why there's no PO yet.
Need a motion for $10,904 for Hopkins Construction to fix the pipe.
Stormwater
drain and pipe in the back parking lot. Do we want to table it till the next meeting and get two more bids?
Give me some direction. If we aren't going to approve it, I'd like some direction.
I think by the silence,
I would
like to have two more bids.
I would prefer at least one more competitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least one more competitive. So we'll table this to the September meeting.
Okay. Let me technically handle it this way. I'll withdraw it.
Okay.
So you don't have to act on the motion. There was no, let me just withdraw it, and I'll bring it back in September with additional quotes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I believe that's all for the open session.
We do want to announce that, again, the work session.
That'll be a board work session at district office Wednesday, August 15th at 4 p.m. on governance. Let's just make a statement about that. Mm-hmm. And I'll need a motion for us to go back into executive session.
Right.
So moved.
Good.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.